Welcome to Wednesday. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hello, peoples. Hello, Seth.
Hello.
I just got here, like, what, 30 seconds before we... Yeah, it's on. I hear you.
Well, I didn't know because, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to be watching today or not, so I just wanted to...
Why? They don't want to see my retirement speech?
Are you you're retiring?
I am. I'm done keeping the seat warm. It's time to put the rightful owner back in the chair.
Hey, all right. You know, let's not start off that way. And
what's wrong with that? This is Mike's chair. I've just been holding it for a while.
Well, no. But he is going to be joining us shortly.
Very good.
And he's probably looking up at the corner of the screen going, oh, my God, there's two people. But now we're on Rumble. We're not on YouTube anymore.
That's right.
It's the censor, so everybody's moved to YouTube.
Off of YouTube.
off of YouTube, sorry. On to Rumble.
Yes. Yes, sir. So, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing. I was still trying to see the world as I used to see it. You know what's weird, though? You know, I got sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got sick maybe, what, like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, everybody that I work with is getting sick. Everybody.
Well, you're a super spreader.
I am a super spreader. But what's weird about this illness,
yeah,
is that all of a sudden people are having the same kind of eye problem that I'm having.
Are you still doing with the eye problem?
A little bit. I mean, it's better than it was. It's not like red and burning anymore.
Okay.
But
you still can't see the screen.
I can see the screen. I switched to men's glasses, so that's good.
I love that every single time a comment pops in, you're like this. You're like, like trying desperately to see it. You need to get yourself just like a 55-inch TV and put it right in front of you, yeah, so that you can see.
Giant monitor.
Right?
But see, the problem is if I make the screen big, like wide screen, full screen, whatever, then I can't see the comments that are coming in.
Well, here's a good. I'll read it to you. No more lady frames.
See, I got men's frames. The fucked up thing is, I had to send my wife into Drug Mart to for me because I couldn't see what the frames look like. I'm sitting, the big rack of frames, like
yeah.
I'm sitting there doing the same thing with them. I'm doing it at the screen, like. Are those black? What are those?
That's so hilarious.
She's going to pick them out for me, and I assume that she got ones that are men's. They look a little bit more.
They look lovely on her.
But I think they're okay. I mean, but I wish they sold a slightly big, stronger prescription, because it goes from 0 to like 3.0.
Well, is this an illness or is this something that you're going to have to go to an obstetrician and get glasses with?
Obstetrician? Don't they do for babies?
What? Well, that would be an interesting place. What is it?
Logic,
optometrist.
Yeah, optometrist. If we go by Chisoka's logic, I will be able to give birth. Yes.
Come on, Mike. He's not even on yet. You're already picking. What are you doing?
I'm not picking.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get rid of this box I have on my screen.
So I can see what is it?
I don't know. It said, do you want to write something? And it said yes or no thanks. I said no thanks.
Oh, okay.
So I think it said no thanks. I'm not sure what it said because I didn't go like this. But yeah, I do have men's frames now, so that's a step in the right direction. And I have been able to see a little bit better. But like a lady went home today from work because of an eye issue, same kind of thing. She was sick with the same illness that I had. So now apparently it's some sort of rabid flu COVID that ends with eye disease.
It's the new flu.
That's the new COVID. So I think I need a 45th booster shot. Actually, in the eyeball this time.
Ooh, that would feel good.
And any other messed up thing is, I'm not used to wearing glasses. Are you a glasses wearer?
I'm supposed to, and yet you've never seen me wear them.
No, I didn't know if you wore like contacts or anything like that.
No, I'm supposed. I have a pair of glasses that every once in a while I put on. Like if my vision gets really, if I get tired, my eyes go to blur. But you know, and then I do keep a pair of glasses, like sunglasses here, just because the lights bug me from time to time. But yeah, I'm like 20/100 with my vision. So,
but like now I can't tell because I'm not used to wearing glasses, whether it's my eyes that are blurry or if the glasses are just fucking foggy or like dirty or shit.
It's probably like, a little of both.
I have a tendency when I'm, you know, not wearing them and looking at other stuff to put them like on top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever's fucking in my hair and stuff gets on my glasses. Then next thing you know, I'm looking through them and go, hello.
Time for you to get a hat. You got to wear a hat so it's when you put the glasses up and they don't get all, you know, hair greased or whatever. But look at you trying to read the
comments. Hey, I don't know. I mean, it was red and burning for a while.
Yeah, you probably just got whatever. It's probably just some sort of something like congestion that's putting pressure on your eyeball. It's making your eyes a little goofed. Hopefully.
I am congested. I mean, yeah. I could be going blind, too.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No. I don't want that. Then what?
One-legged blind guy? That'd be great.
One-legged blind guy. Look, I qualify for everything under America.
You have to cut off your other hand, well, like one of your hands too, and you'd be all set. You'll be broken table, Seth.
I thought about that. Like I could, I might have to end it all. Something if I like went
stop.
Blind.
Stop.
Look, man.
You're the one that told me that everything's that there's a way out of this and everything's going to get better. You got to be positive.
I'm a very visual person. One, I need vision to work. But two, my porn days are over. It's over for me.
There's that.
Call it a day.
Well, can I raise can I make you feel a little better?
Yeah.
All right. Considering that, we're still fighting the Rumble challenge a little bit with people.
Yeah.
A nice solid 50 active watchers right now.
Really?
Beginning of the show, 50 people. Very nice. Yeah. Welcome, Rumblers.
And we still have thesethwilliamshow.com and...
Yes. And X and everywhere else. Facebook, X. Do we have X? Yeah, we're on X.
On X?
We're all over the place. The only place we're not is YouTube.
We do have Mike Chisoka coming up in about 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Very cool.
Because I'm holding off on him only because I told people that he was going to be coming on at a certain time and they want to listen. And so, you know, I don't want to ask the questions before they actually get to the show. So Mike Chisoka will be joining us shortly. He is at the bottom of the screen looking at us. He is very excited about coming on the show today.
I'm excited to have Mike on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I talked to a couple of people today that actually had questions that they want me to ask.
Okay.
Some of them Listen, if he answers the wrong way, we're very threatening, to be honest with you. But I think that it'll be okay in the long run. One guy that I talked to today says that Mike owes him money.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he will not be watching the show tonight unless he, you know, Mike pays him the money he's owed. And then we got the massage show coming up in a little bit, too. Tony's going to be a great place. So,
yeah, we're going to talk about that great place, by the way. Why? I took your recommendation and was completely let down.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Which one
last night? Whichever one the DoorDash guy brought it from.
So it's got to be the one close to you.
The one closest to me, but I was not happy.
Well, I don't want to destroy the place. If he's gonna...
No, we won't. We won't.
But I really like that place. What'd you get?
What was it? Whatever their burger's called, it's like a double burger with A1 sauce on it. The smokehouse burger or something.
Okay. And you didn't
something like that. It just was like, I could have made the same thing and saved myself $40.
Well, the cheese double cheeseburger is my favorite. It's like grilled cheese with a burger in the middle, which is a double burger. Yeah. It's fantastic. But I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. I haven't eaten a burger in 2 years.
Oh, well, thanks for the recommendation. You call me up, you say, this place has great burgers. I order the burger. Now you're saying you hadn't had one in 2 years.
But when I went there, I thought it was one of the best burgers I ever had.
Okay, well, that could be four chefs ago.
Well, I've never been to the one that's by you. I had the pizza last night, though, Teresa's Pizza.
Solid, right?
It is solid. Now, my problem is that by the time I drove from Twinsburg back to my house, it was fucking cold.
But right.
It's a very good pizza. It's a great pizza, to be honest with you. But I apologize. You know, I didn't know that your place over there would suck ass.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, dude, come on. At this point, I'm used to good and bad. You know, it happens. Here you go.
With it, what?
Mike's back on the show. It'll be the Rumble on Rumble.
Hey, real John Drake. That's the guy that I wanted to join us today, too. I wanted to talk about that. We were talking off air with Mike about the
situation Browns.
With Jameis Winston now coming in.
Oh, my God.
And Joe Flacco saying bye-bye. Now, here's the deal. Go fuck yourself, Browns. You ain't going to win 3 games next year now.
Racist.
3 games.
Racist.
And I'll tell you why. Because, one, Deshaun Watson sucks ass. And, two, Jameis Winston sucks worse ass. And he's not a team player. He doesn't listen to his coaches. He's a jerk-off. And they're going to now win 3 games this year. You had a guy...
3 games.
3 games. You had a guy that took you to the playoffs.
It is a bad look.
Took you to the playoffs, and you dump him.
I did see, too, that they didn't even throw him an offer.
You know,
that's a bad look, man.
I heard the reasoning why. The reasoning why is they said that if Deshaun Watson sucks, which he's going to because he doesn't play good football, he threw more passes to the opposing team last year than he did his own.
I'll read it to you, Seth. Don't get me started. I'm thinking of canceling my season tickets.
Good for you.
And for John, that's a big deal. For John, that's like choosing to, you know, cut off his head.
So what the explanation that I heard was that when Deshaun Watson sucks, they didn't want a quarterback controversy and having all of Cleveland yelling, bring in Flacco, and Joe Flacco needs to be back in the game.
So is the thought that they think that if Watson sucks, that they won't be cheering for whoever's back there?
No, their thought is they're going to stick with Watson, and they know that Jameis Winston is just a career backup.
Jerk the bum.
He's a bum, and nobody's going to want him put in. So if Watson gets hurt, they put him in. Otherwise, they're going to ride all the way with the massage lunatic.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is what it is. They're still going back to the playoffs.
After really?
No, they're not. They're not getting close at all. They're not going to playoffs. Are you kidding me? 3 games.
11. 11.
11.
11.
Who's throwing the ball? You?
Deshaun.
Okay.
They were 5-1 with him. What do you mean to who? To Judy and to Amari Cooper.
No, but he doesn't see Browns uniforms. He sees opposing uniforms and decides to toss the ball to them.
Hey, he's going to get over that. He's going to lose his color blindness and get back to it this year. I'm telling you. 5,500 yards this year. 55 touchdowns. Hey, if you can say outlandish stupid shit, so can I.
You're the Shitsoko sports. I'm making fun of the guy. He's not even on the show yet.
I know. That's not nice.
No, it's not very nice of me at all. I need to be nice.
Be nice.
Rumble playing the intro over and over.
Well, hit refresh, Candy. Well, she can't hear us. Hit refresh.
Other people see it.
Yeah, everybody else seeing it. It's definitely tuned in before the show started. Just hit refresh. It'll work.
What's the text about asparagus?
You should have to eat asparagus this time without it being all dolled up and served on a silver platter with bacon and ranch. I agree. I think you have to eat asparagus every week after the third win. So if they get to the fourth win, you have to eat asparagus. Then the fifth win, you have to eat asparagus.
Look, I'll be realistic. I'm going to give a realistic prediction now that they have Jameis Winston and, you know, Jerry Jeudy, who was supposed to be a great first-round pick and has just sucked ass to, has never lived up to his potential. I'm going to say six wins. Six. They will not win a game over six.
All I know is that they're going to win a six. Come on. They're going to win two against Pittsburgh. They're going to win at least one Pittsburgh. Yes.
All right. One, Pittsburgh just got a decent quarterback.
No, they didn't. They got a washed-up quarterback. Russell decent Wilson is not a decent quarterback.
And then on top of that, their defense is better than ours.
Stop, dude.
They picked up a linebacker. Their defense is better than ours now.
Was that asparagus that you ate laced with cocaine or what?
I just know football.
No, you don't. As you proved last year when you had to eat a pound of asparagus. You don't know shit about football.
I know football. Dude, I didn't factor in the wild card of them bringing in a 45-year-old quarterback off the couch to come in and play football. Now, that was a wild card that even I couldn't have seen coming. And so I know football, and they're going to win six games.
Oh, my God. Are you crazy? You know what? We're not even to baseball season yet. We're already talking about fucking football. What are we doing? Let's talk about the Padres.
Talk about the Indians.
Oh. Who?
Oh.
Who?
Yeah. What time is it? I think we can
bring time. Let's bring Mike on.
Is there a drum roll? The man, the myth, the legend. Mike Jesuck, everybody.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
All right, why do you suck so bad?
You're horrible. See ya.
Good to be home.
How are you, man?
I've been good. I've been real good.
What's up with the beard? I'm starting there. What's up with the beard, man? You like when I met you, we had to fight you to take a tie off. Now you're like down home Mike.
There you go. It's inspired by the love of my life, and I get some feedback from time to time. I like everything about it, except having the occasional guy come up thinking he's paying me a compliment by saying, "You look just like Kenny Rogers," and that's almost enough to go home and buy a razor. But no, I'm keeping it for a while.
Inspired by the love of your life, Biden is clean shaven, dude.
No, although I will tell you this, I was listening to the opening of the show. I think it's a real tribute in the time that I've been gone that you play that song at the beginning of the show that says Biden dawns early life. I was sitting here without a microphone going, well, that's pretty straight up of him.
I had like videos planned for you, and then all of a sudden I got...
We'll handle them when they come in. I could kick off my portion of the show by just saying comedy has been a return to the most honest profession I've ever known, but there are a couple of things that endanger it.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm doing some good shows. I've got some good bookings. I'm busier than I was, you know, last year when I was just starting. But I have some local shows coming up, and when I'm around, I'll let you know, or I'll post or make that available and stuff. There's no shortage of material. We can all pretty much, you know,
that is true.
Understand that concept. But here's what I've noticed since I've been back, I watched two crippling things come into existence that really had an effect on comedy. When I started, if you wanted a good show, you went to a good comedy club and you saw good comics. Then cable came around and Comedy Central, the Comedy Channel, and the Comedy Store all were competing to be that station on cable. They all had to put out 24/7 comedy 7 days a week. And there were a lot of people sitting at home Friday night, Saturday night, date night in bed, you know, instead of watching Carson and stuff like that. And they would see a ton of bad comedy.
Sure.
And they all said, oh, I'm not going to see that. I'm not paying to go see that. And that's when the comedy clubs had to turn over and paper the house. All the ticket prices went to hell. They papered the house and they made their money off the two drink minimum. So comics' wages never went up and on and on and on and on and on. But it kind of survived, and then COVID came along. But then coming out of COVID, I will tell you, everywhere you look, there's a free open mic show at Joe's Corner Bar and this guy's fish place and this guy's flower arrangement shop. And what happens is you'll sit there and you will see 11 quote-unquote comics. Nine of them have no business being on stage.
Right.
And the same thing is happening. People sit in those establishments, and even if you've got a couple good people coming on at the end, by the time you've had people come up and just talk about, you know, diseases and mental illness, it's they're numb. So comedy's got to get over that thing too. But I think and still believe the best is yet to come, because just like at a funeral, when it's not until somebody puts a lampshade on and says, hey, remember when Uncle Ernie did this, that people start to laugh and people start to heal.
Right.
I think in the political environment that we're in, comedy can go a long way to do that.
And it can't. Well, hold on, Mike. I'm going to stop you there for a minute. It can.
Yeah.
If it's allowed to, without being taken as factual, which is a big, big problem. Comedians are afraid to tell jokes now because they'll get canceled or they'll get.
That's where the cream will rise to the top. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. I remember when I first got started, the first couple of times I played Vegas, people would walk out of Don Rickles' show. And if they were Portuguese and Don Rickles didn't insult the Portuguese, they felt left out.
Right.
They felt hurt. They felt, oh, my God, he ignored us. He passed over us. Now you tell a joke and people look from side to side and ask themselves, well, can I laugh at that? So what's going to happen is comics like me aren't afraid of that stuff and are going to tell the truth anyway. And after people get up and walk out, three more people that hear that people got up and walked out will come in and take their seats. That's my prediction. That's what's going to happen.
Well, it would be nice. I know there was a comedian. I forget his name. He's not like a famous comedian. He's more famous now because of this. But this was maybe 3-4 weeks ago. He told I forget what he told, like one of the dudes that got shot, like a Trayvon Martin joke or something. And it was a black comic, a black guy, black comic, told a Trayvon Martin joke. People got up and left and yelling and screaming at him on the stage, what have you, that it wasn't right and this and that. And here's where his screw up was. At first, he taunted him. At first, he did what you're supposed to do as a comic and go right back at him. Like, I'm not going to give up. But then the next day, he's on social media apologizing for it. And it's like, dude, you cannot, and you got to admit this, Mike, you can never apologize. I don't care what you say on a comedy stage. You cannot apologize for it or your credibility is completely lost.
If you got the guts to say it, you got to have the guts to take it.
Yeah. And even if you don't mean it, you can't apologize for it, because now the shock value of this, you, whatever that guy's name is, you can't go see him again because you know he's only going to do safe comedy now. He's never going to challenge you. And that's he's ruined.
And I'll give you a personal from the heart example of something I learned from what I went through on the experience of being on the show.
Okay.
And then not being on the show. And before anybody else calls in and it gets one-on-one, I will tell you, it helped me write one of the best jokes of my act. Because okay. I spent 5 minutes talking about, oh my God, there's people that believe that you know, Bigfoot is real. There's people that believe there's a vault behind Abraham Lincoln's head on Mount Rushmore. There's people that believe that the earth is flat. There's people that believe that climate change is a hoax. There's people that believe that 9/11 was an inside job, that we never went to the moon. And every one of those people also believe that Oswald acted alone. So they're up, got it backwards, up one way and down the other, which is why, after thinking about this stuff, it has dawned on me, we have to close the border. We have to seal it shut. We can't let a single person in, because that's the only way to save the innocent refugees. If we let those people into this country, after a short amount of time, they're going to be as stupid as we are.
That's a good point.
And my point there is, all three of us are laughing at that. And that's the key to, because the bottom line is, all the shows I've done, all the states I've been to, all the foreign countries, all the cruise ships, all of the audiences I've been blessed and enabled to perform in front of, we are a lot more alike than we are different.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. That's the good thing.
I'm going to agree and disagree with you on that, because, you know, that's another one of those things. Yes, we can all sit there and enjoy a good show together or a good movie together, and we're all a lot alike in that kind of in that regard. But I think in this country we've come to a point where we're not anymore that close together. We are completely far apart when it comes to morals and beliefs in this country now. And I don't think that's true anymore, Mike.
Here's the thing. I will admit to you that we've gone from the United States of America to the adjacent states of America.
Yes.
But that's temporary. And my point has always been, as the guy that says both sides are wrong, we are being groomed. We are being brainwashed. We are being cultivated to hate each other. Deep down, we don't. Because, goddammit, if somebody's house catches on fire, when the fire truck rolls up, nobody says, hey, are any of you guys liberal Democrats, get out of my yard. That doesn't happen. Somebody needs a blood transfusion and they hook up that bag. Nobody says, oh my God, did that bag come from a Negro? That doesn't happen. There is more family structure in this country that is interracial, up and down, right and wrong, black and white, this, that the seeds are there. We can find a way to reach out, listen, tolerate, and learn from.
Then why are they trying to do it, Mike? Why are they trying to divide us?
Well, here's the thing.
Sides, you're right. It's both sides. Then why are they trying to do it?
It is because neither the right nor the left are talking about the fact that there are over 150 of the 500 top corporations in this country that are not American. They've been bought by China. China owns enough farmland the size of Kansas. Bill Gates is buying up the rest. They own our national debt. The globalists, the big banks, and it's not politicians that when I say globalists, it's the three largest investment firms. They own enough money to make the decisions. I'll give you, and here's what's coming. This past week on my phone, I've got an Android. My whole phone shut down. I had to change the look of my home screen. I had to update my messages. I had to sign in and give my phone number and email address and do whatever the phone company wanted me to do to install the new uplifted, improved model. And everybody did it. You go to a store and they have those little screens at the self-checkout, which I hate. Take a look next time you're there. Those screens aren't watching your hand. They don't give a shit what you're putting in your bag or not. The only way we're going to fix shoplifting in this country is with snipers. That screen is there to capture your face. They are building a national, if not international, facial recognition database. We are going to be told where to go, what to do, what to eat. They're not going to waste gas on international travel anymore. You want to go see the Colosseum in Rome? Here, put these glasses on. And people put it on and go, oh, my God, it's like I'm really there. There is an article in this month's Atlantic called The Tragic Price of a Phone-Raised Childhood. They're changing the world, and they want you and I to fight over bullshit stuff like the border, like cultural issues, because we're not demanding a bigger share of the pie. We're not saying, okay, if you want us in this Skinner box, well, at least pay my health care, give me family leave, take care of childhood, and balance out the taxes and on and on and on and on. We don't hold corporations accountable, because the major sin in America is we want things to be that corrupt at the top just in case we ever get there. And that's where the problem is.
I was going to say, hey, Chris, real quick, I didn't realize we had Flat Earth guy on. I'm going to call Mike and try to get him on the phone.
Well,
I really don't disagree with actually a lot of what you said. I mean,
I don't disagree with you either, because the left is full of shit too.
You
Who
do
cares
we
about what?
We have a president now, and again, I'm not trying to. I don't want to get into everything just yet, but I mean, we have a president now that is allowing China to come in and do the kind of stuff that they're doing, and taking land here in the U.S. and not and letting them fly spy balloons over our country. And allowing them to kind of get away with this. It is a globalist thing, you're right. Okay. But I think a lot of people on the left are controlled by those globalists.
But it started so far long ago, both parties are in on it.
I agree with you. Which is why I think a lot of people hate Trump, not just because you hate Trump because he's a dick. I think they hate Trump because he's a nationalist and a populist and not a globalist.
Well, actually, he is. He is a globalist. That's the con game everybody's going to wake up for, and they're going to hate him worse than I do, because the only people that bail him out are Russia and China. All the banks, all the money, the five floors in Trump Towers that are owned by Russian oligarchs, he's got a nasty past, and that doesn't ever get discussed. But let's leave Trump and Biden out of this, because neither one of them is John F. Kennedy. And when John F. Kennedy wanted to get us out of the Federal Reserve System and the war in Vietnam and expose what's going on with the corruption in the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about, they shot him. And everybody else kind of toes the line. Case in point, everybody bitching about, oh, bring those manufacturing jobs home. All the American jobs that are overseas. Liberals didn't do that. Conservatives didn't do that. It was American big business. They all went there. And they did that to make money, period, and fuck the rest of us. We're going to have to realize that we're not enemies. And all this stuff with the culture wars has been stirred up, because that's the only way to divide us now, and it's to keep us from focusing on the stuff that we should be talking about. There aren't going to be enough fish in the oceans by 2048. There's three garbage patches of plastic, three times the size of France and twice the size of Texas, floating around in the Pacific. And everybody goes, well, what does that have to do with me? There isn't a person walking around the face of the earth that doesn't have microplastics in their system because they eat fish. This is the kind of stuff that's going to alter and change the way we live. And by then it'll be too late. And you know what? We're not even talking about it. Why in God's name did they bring back or be in a rush to bring out artificial intelligence and virtual reality and not do a thing about all the stupid in the middle?
Have you ever watched virtual reality porn, though, Mike? It is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And for $6,000, you can get a lifelike robot woman to come home with you, suck your dick, and not tell you to do any chores.
Can I borrow $6,000? I got out of that conversation. I don't disagree with where you're at, though, Mike. I don't. I think it's a lot bigger than it is.
I don't disagree with you either. That's why I came to you. That's why I came to your bed. That's why I came to your hospital room and said, let's make history, because nobody's telling the truth. And we have the opportunity to do that. You're that good.
I like this truth.
What do you think?
I love this truth. I like this new mic. The new mic way better.
This is the me that's always been here. Unfortunately, we had some people that were a little sensitive and a little raw, and it was a big change from what they were thinking, which is we were going to get Triv Light. And respectfully, I think Triv was around today, he'd be as pissed off as the three of us are, truthfully. And he'd be carving his own path.
I think where you, what you said there is a little bit off base, because if you went that direction, and you did in a lot of ways talk about the banks and everything like that, but you took topics that weren't necessarily a globalist agenda and turned it into fucking Trump. I hate Trump. Kill babies. Let's all have abortions. And then that rubbed people the wrong way.
Now
I think it's a lot better, to be honest with you.
When I said that everybody was being misled by Trump, who is a grifter, they didn't listen to anything else. When I said both sides, nobody listened, because the first step in everybody coming together is to put down whatever side they're on and meet in the middle. Biden can't be that wrong if Trump ain't that wrong. That's what a fresh start's all about.
I don't know what to say at this point. Is that good?
I'll say it first.
I've been listening to his Browns predictions.
I'll say it first. I've missed you too.
Well, I mean, I had it over under on this whole conversation. It was 15 minutes. And I think, you know,
we're past that.
So that's good. I mean,
that's good.
A step in the right direction. And you know, I think it's cool. But,
I was going to ask Mike, you know, because this is one of the things that me and Seth battle with all the time. Seth has an ideological view that the world can be turned somewhere that's back in time. I think we're already done. You know, I don't think that there is a road back. And primarily, I don't think so, because I think people don't want to compromise anything. They don't want to compromise an opinion, a thought, a point, anything. And I think we're done. I just think that the youth don't know how to do it, and the old people are too tired to do it. So I think we're just going to kind of go to the next, whatever the next thing is, which is global agenda.
I have a different take on that, though. And I'm not saying that if we have to deal with the geometric size of the population on a more global level, it doesn't mean that the morals can't be finally adhered to. But here's the problem. We've never, ever lived up to them. There isn't a time in history where people were good, things were right, and all that stuff, because at the same time you had that America in the 40s and 50s, you had sexism, you had women being treated like dirt, you had racism, you had all that stuff and things. And don't get me started, but here's my biggest example on right and wrong, and the left being wrong too. Every time I hear talk about reparations, the first thing that goes through my mind is, oh my God, how much are we going to owe the Indians?
The Guardians, so please. The Guardians.
Well, yeah. But my point is, that's right about longing for that kind of moral fiber in that core. But the next time we do it will be the first time. And that's the challenge. And that's where we can go. Forget trying to go backwards. Let's do it the right way in the future.
All right. Here's the problem that I have. And I'm trying to word it correctly. We are at a point in this country, though, where you're not going to do what you want to do, which is to bring everybody together and solve this globalist problem. We have to correct the wrongs that are happening now.
Okay.
And the wrongs that are happening now are shit like children having their privates lopped off because doctors and parents are saying that they can change their sex when they're 5-10 years old. That needs to stop.
That's about 120 people.
That's not 120 people, Mike. I look at the numbers on a day-to-day basis. It's a lot more than 120 people. And then, you know, you make fun of the border earlier and shutting it down, but if somebody wants to go to your comedy routine and go to a bar and check you out, I'm guessing that they have to show an ID and be a legal citizen. They don't just let anybody walk off the streets and go into your bars where you're performing or your comedy club, okay, whatever you're doing. You need an ID. You need to be a legal citizen to walk in to just go get a drink somewhere.
Okay, here's the problem.
A legal citizen to come into this country. And when we have 10 million people, and yesterday a story comes out about Biden wanting to make it legal for these 10 million or more illegals that have come in, the ability to vote, that's a problem in this country when they're trying to create a new voting block. So there's a lot of things in this country that are wrong now that need to be taken care of. We can't have green energy with people buying $60,000 cars because most of America can't afford $60,000 cars or $100,000 cars. I mean, and
all right, well, let him answer, Seth. You're throwing 10 points at once. Let him answer.
Well, shit out there too. I'm trying to show that what this globalist.
I understand that.
It's fine, but we have problems in this country that need to be solved, and it seems to be happening on one side.
Okay, I would agree. The biggest thing I would add to what you're saying too is the other danger is we live in a society where people want to push a button and see the answer. They want results in 2 seconds.
Yes.
But here's my biggest example of why we're being taken advantage of. If you study, and I don't mean go to school and get re-educated. Just look at Pew Research. Look at Colgate. Look at any of the universities. Look at the government statistics. There have been immigrants coming to this country legally and illegally since the 1900s, late 1800s. And all of a sudden now, the focus isn't on the economy and all that kind of stuff. The lie that's being created around the immigration situation is the thing that pisses me off the most. I'll tell you why. Immigration, legal and illegal, is responsible for 25% of the agricultural workers in this country, 50% of the workers that work in meat processing plants, 35% of the construction that's being done in the deserts and in the mountains and in places where Johnny from Nordonia High School ain't gonna go. We can't survive without the people that want to do those jobs because everybody wants to shut down the border, ain't gonna go to California and pick their own strawberries. In addition to that, some of the lies that are being perpetuated to make people hate those people are just outright wrong. Every single illegal immigrant that gets a job from the corporations that want them here pays taxes. They take it out of their check as an excuse to not give them all the money that they earned working 10 hours a day for shit money. But because they're illegal, they're not entitled to welfare. They don't get government benefits. There is a plan on the books that after 7 years in this country, if you maintain your job and you want to pay taxes, that after 7 years, you might become a citizen. Once you become a citizen, then yes, you're going to be able to vote. So but the rhetoric of them, and since 1995, crime in the country has gone down. These immigrants, because look at it this way. Everybody's pissed off at the people that have come in here the last 2 years when Biden was president. Everybody that came this 50 years before them is living in America, working and paying taxes. A higher percentage of illegal immigrants have a work ethic than 15 to 28 year olds.
So you're okay with just opening the border and letting everybody come in?
No.
Even the FBI director said the other day that there's terrorists, ISIS, coming across the border. I mean, it's not just Mexicans who are gardening in my backyard, Mike.
Yeah.
People that are here to cause us harm. And on top of that, we have enough crime with legal people here. We don't need crime with illegal people here. When you have a president who goes on TV the other day after a girl had her skull crushed by an illegal immigrant, and he calls him illegal during his State of the Union speech, and then apologizes to the murderer and says undocumented migrant as opposed to illegal immigrant, and apologizes to a murderer instead of taking care of that family, it's a situation that needs to be fixed.
I agree. I totally agree.
The argument of the Congress needs to take care of it is bullshit. President went in and struck down 94 executive orders of Trump's that had that border at least semi-closed when Biden took office. He got rid of all of them and let that border be wide open for people to come in.
Well, truth of the matter is this. If you read the Cato Institute, President Trump reduced legal immigration to almost nothing. The legitimate entry, the work visas, all of that stuff, he wiped all of that stuff out, the total Muslim ban, things like that.
I'm fine with that. We have enough people in this country that we
I get that. Well, actually, we don't. The economy requires that. The reason why, this is what I mean about going back to the banks and the corporations and not the political parties. The immigrants, there's nothing being done on immigration for 35 years because big business doesn't want anything done for 35 years. And if you look at the statistics, Trump didn't do a thing about illegal immigration. Those numbers still went up and up and up. Now, I'll give you this. They have more than doubled under the current administration. But that's because the migrants, and the word went out that if you're going to get into America, you better get there now because of the wall and the threat of the wall.
And Biden told them to come here.
I know he did not.
He did. He
started long
stage. He said to come. I played the audio 9,000 times, Mike.
That part I agree.
That's true.
But getting a hearing, and here's the other thing that nobody will talk about, but it needs some consideration. Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, every Central American country, every South American country between 1947 and 1973, we overthrew every single one of those governments. And the people that we propped up and put in office are the people these people are trying to get away from. We created our own problem. Yeah, we're still paying for it in the Middle East when we took out the Shah. We're not blameless in this. And the thing about it is, and here's where everybody can come home and feel good. The Republicans aren't to blame. The Democrats aren't to blame. The conservatives aren't to blame. The liberals aren't to blame because we didn't do any of the invasion, and we didn't decide to overthrow Vietnam, and we didn't decide to go into, 9/11 happened. All 8 of the pilots were from Saudi Arabia, and we invaded Iran. We haven't done shit to Saudi Arabia.
No.
And that's because the money tells everybody else what to do. There's people saying we should have term limits because, God bless, how come there's no term limits on lobbyists? You're going to send the idiots like we have in Congress now to go talk to a guy who's been the oil industry lobbyist for 65 years? Who's going to win that argument? And all they're looking for is an envelope full of money anyway.
Oh, well, they get it. That's why, though. They get it. And the oil thing is the biggest. The oil thing is the biggest scam of all time, which totally, to me, I always look at this. Henry Kissinger was the biggest terrorist of all the terrorists.
Yeah.
When he traded our sovereignty of oil.
Yeah.
For T-bills, he traded. Yeah. Oh, we'll do this forever if you buy T-bills from us. And now what are we? Now we're paying $4 a gallon, and we're not. There's a part of it that is Biden's fault. I'm not going to say that there's not, by him shutting down pipelines and all that. But there's only so much we can do because we are in perpetuity tied to OPEC.
Yeah.
Because as long as they buy T-bills from us, that's the deal that dickhead Kissinger put in place back in, 72 or whatever.
But again, I know Michael will hate this and hate to hear it, but underneath the other president before Biden, we were on our way to being, if we weren't there already, energy independent. And that's why gas prices were $2 a gallon. They were $2.20 when this guy took over. I paid $3.60 the other night. And that's, and he brags about prices being down. Yeah, they're down from the $5 that he created. So, I mean, again, I understand that Mike always wants to solve the, and there he goes. I can see the head rubbing.
No. I'm just rubbing my ass. I'm listening.
But I understand that, you know, you want to solve the globalist problem, but the problems that we have now are the problems that we're going to be alive to see.
Okay.
Well, maybe. I mean, but we're certainly not going to be alive to see the end of the globalist regime and the downfall of big banks. We certainly are going to be alive to see that.
What I'm afraid of is
at least a better country for my kid.
Well, here's my other thing. We're not going to solve anything, Seth. Everybody I talk to says, well, we need the Second Amendment because if things get out of line and the government ended in it, we have the right to start another revolution. What the fuck are we waiting for?
No, we need the Second Amendment because it's in the Constitution.
I get that. But my point is, we fought a revolution because they were going to raise the price of tea. The king is going to raise the price of tea. Bullshit. That's the American Revolution.
And believe me, I understand that, you know, Biden says that we don't need the Second Amendment because he's going to come after us with tanks and planes. So I get that. But we do need the Second Amendment. It's part of our history. It's part of our
country.
And I hate to tell you, it generally isn't the gun-toting Americans that have them legally that are causing all the problems.
But hold on. This is also why the government, and I think it's mostly the left side, correct me if I'm wrong on this, which I'm sure you will, Mike, but I believe that the attitude of, and again, going back to social agenda, that's why they push. Oh, there he is. That's why they push that social agenda. That's why they push the agenda of, if you're a gun guy, you're a MAGA guy. You're a terrorist. Same with if you're a veteran. If you're a veteran, you're dangerous. You're a loose cannon. You're the guy that's going to shoot up the grocery store. They build that agenda because they're afraid of the people that have the guns.
And that agenda, and the same agenda that has everybody on Fox thinking that every liberal is weird, both of those agendas were written by the same new organizations in order to have both sides fight each other. Because the thing about what Seth just said and the thing about you just said, because believe me, when I say both sides, I got the message for the left. The moon is not in the seventh house and Jupiter never aligned with Mars. So that happened a long time ago. But fighting every single thing about we're going to need this and we're going to need what you just said, how are we ever going to get there without everybody contributing? As long as we continue to fight each other, ain't nothing going to change.
But listen,
the only way we'll lose for sure is if we keep down this path where we both walk down the street and think each other's the enemy. That's dead wrong. That is un-American.
Okay, but at the same time, you went to Fox. So let me just play. Can I play a quick clip, Chris? Do you mind?
Go.
This is what I'm talking about when I turn on the left and what I see.
Okay.
We're a little worried about Joy Reid, our dear, dear friend.
The United States has a population of north of 327 million people. Why do we need more kids? I mean, your party, Senator Tuberville, is the one screaming that 10 million immigrants, which I don't even know that number even makes any sense because it doesn't, have streamed into the country since Joe Biden has been president. There was a time when the state of Alabama absolutely needed more kids because, you know, Alabama was a slave state. And the mandate of the planter class in Alabama was for black women to produce more kids because those kids were property. Are you saying the we is white folks need more kids? Is this like a great replacement thing where you're concerned that there's not enough white people in the population versus the growth of the Latino population, the black population, the Asian American population? And so the we is white people need to make white women have more kids? Oh, and your Dominionist Supreme Court and their Seven Mountains Dominionist belief system? That is the precursor to The Handmaid's Tale.
Why does America need more kids? Well,
I look at somebody like that, and I want her to leave the country.
Can I tell you something?
Go.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That is just that. That is so one-sided, and wrong. But two wrongs don't make a right, and two wrongs don't cancel each other out. That's what I mean by both sides have their hat up their ass.
And I understand what you're saying, but this is what I argue with Chris about too, is that at some point you have to pick a fucking side, though.
No.
Because if we just sit back in the middle, like you're saying, we're going to lose. One side or the other wins,
dude,
in this battle. And I want to be on the right side.
Okay. Then you know what? Then we have to start and create a new side. That's all I've ever said. We both need to tell everybody lined up behind us, get in the new line. Because if you honestly start showing people that they're dead wrong no matter which way they look, and the only way to look is forward together, then that's how you start a new movement. We ain't going to fix the problem of what's going on now, A, because it's unfixable, and B, it's designed to not be fixable so that we waste 100 years jacking each other off. We need to say the real issues are these. What are you doing about this? Here's my dilemma. I have spiritual side to everything I do. Everybody says, well, we're not going to have peace in the world till Jesus comes back again. What if he tries to enter this country through the southern border?
He'll get hand-walked in, Mike. He'll get hand-walked in.
I'm waiting here. Let's say tomorrow was the second coming, and he comes down on a cloud and starts talking about peace, love, justice, understanding, and some idiot says, you commie liberal. Where we go from there? And that's what I said before about we've never been great. You want to build a great America? It's a new America. And I'm telling you, Seth, you and I are the two to do it.
There you go. And with that, I resign.
No, you don't. Look, I would love a new America. I would love an America that ran properly. I would love an America that, everybody.
We've got to show them how.
I feel like we were closer to that a long time ago than we are now, though.
People actually walked
around this country with flags, and they were patriotic, and they loved it. And now there's a segment of this population that has a disdain for our country. People died for this country, and they didn't die for guys waving on, with dog collars and parades, and having a month dedicated to sodomy and disaster. They didn't die for, children 4 or 5 years old to be turned into opposite sex. They didn't die to have tampons in men's restrooms and being told that I could have a baby. I mean, it's fucking stupid what's going on. And a lot of it needs to change.
I get that. The only problem is they had the same kind of people running around in Pompeii. They had the same kind of people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Those kind of people aren't going to go away. Hermaphrodites are the one people that don't get discussed, and it's not their fault. They are born with both sets of genitals. What do they do? Where do they pee?
Yeah, I'm not
so my point is, those aren't the issues. We got 97% of the people in this country walking around on eggshells so that 3% don't get nervous, upset, or have emotional problems and have to go grab an emotional support tool.
Yeah, well, and that's a big problem, is that we've let the minority dictate the majority.
Yes.
We have to literally, we've got to accept whatever label the weak are going to give us. And I do that. I live my life that I get called everything, especially from the other show more than this one, but I get called racist, bigot, homophobe, whatever. And I don't care. I know what I am. Just put it on the back of the shirt as far as I'm concerned. But everybody has to be that way now. You have to say what's right. And if somebody says, well, that makes you a bigot, fine. I'm a bigot, but I'm not changing. Everybody's so trying to be soft to not offend everybody. There's no rule that says you can't offend people. Offending people, when you could offend people, it made people have to be a little more responsible with the words that they used. Now there's no responsibility at all. You just don't say it because you're afraid of losing your job or whatever. You know, it's stupid.
I disagree with your friend.
We ignore all those people and we start telling the truth, or at least have an honest discussion about the issues that really matter. And when those people go, what the hell are they talking about? Either they listen or they're beyond hope. We'll find the people. I think that based on what I've been doing for the last year and the people that come out to the shows, people are looking. They're quiet. They're just as bummed out as everybody else because both sides are in, and ain't finding a happy home on either side. Something new will draw a crowd.
John texted in. He says, no, you don't, Seth. That's bullshit. Decide who you're voting on based on the issues, not because you have to be on a side. That's the whole problem. I do. I mean, but look, two sides have different issues. I have to pick the side that has the issues that I agree with. I mean, that's what it comes down to, John. Of course you have to pick a side. The sides have different issues. I mean, what are you going to do? If one side is one issue, another side is another issue, like you, what the fuck are you going to do? Voting independent, voting third party is a bunch of crap anymore. You're not going to win.
True. Which is why the media just has to start educating a voting class that will actually
doesn't educate anybody.
Media is not. The media is never going to be the answer anymore.
Well,
the media is dead.
Our media.
Now, maybe.
And either that, or like we all know, even if everybody laughs and thinks it's just entertainment and we're the biggest freaks in the country, we make a decent living.
All right, so I have to get to the question that a friend of mine wanted me to ask you.
Okay.
What do you think about RFK?
Well,
Bobby?
He's not. Well, I'll tell you. He's deciding between Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura as vice president. So now you tell me, whoever wrote in, what do you think about RFK?
I also heard Matt McConaughey was also in the running.
Yeah, well, Matt knows better.
Well, he does on those liquor commercials.
Yeah,
I vote for Aaron Rodgers, man. You imagine if Bobby Kennedy Jr. gets sick, and
Aaron Rodgers
takes over the president. Fucking love that.
Telling you.
At least I know I'm not taking a vax.
So.
Wow. What about that, Mike?
What's that?
I'm sure we talked about that back in the day. What do you think about the government forcing people to take a vaccine?
Well, it worked with polio.
Polio was also 100 years ago.
Yeah, but my problem is if you think everything's gone downhill and can't be trusted since then, I don't like the fact that we have turned our back completely on science because that's where, once again,
Mike.
Wait.
All right, go ahead, and then I'm jumping on this one.
There has to be a way where we ask them to show their work and reinstate where you can have some faith in all the money that's in science and technology and research and development and all of that kind of stuff. Right now, it's take it or leave it, and that's like putting people herding into Skinner boxes, and I don't like that at all.
The biggest part of science up until 2020 was proving your hypothesis.
Agreed.
2020, they just said, "Well, we got an idea. We ain't got any idea what it's going to do, but roll your fucking sleeve up and take it because we're going to tell you it's going to do this." There was no proof in the hypothesis. So every single commentator, person, anybody that says you have to take this vaccine, you have to go with what the science tells you. The science never told us definitively and accurately that it was safe. And that's why we're getting so many people that are in their 30s and 40s having heart attacks now, because that science wasn't safe, and more to the fact, it wasn't proven. I agree with you that you can believe in the science. Polio, you want to go with polio. They didn't mix some shit in a blender and start sticking it in people's arms. They tested it for years. And COVID was a convenient way to make human beings the guinea pigs instead of treating them with the respect that they deserved.
And then it was all about control. I mean, even Fauci's come out and admitted that the whole stand 6 feet apart was a bunch of bullshit, and that those masks, depending on what ones you use, didn't work at all. And so it was about control. They shut everything down. They made you do shit that you would never do. And that they knew didn't work. And then they tried to force you to take a vaccine and threaten you with your livelihood. There's people that were out on the streets because they didn't take the jab.
Well, some people may find this weird coming out of my mouth. But going all the way back to the St. Patrick's Day weekend in, what was it, 21?
Okay.
When they shut everything down?
20.
It was in March. That weekend on PBS was a documentary on polio vaccine. And in that documentary, which I've never been able to find since, one of the scientists said the problem with the research they were doing of polio was it was a virus instead of a bacteria. They didn't have electron microscopes yet, so they couldn't see the virus. And because it was a virus, the scientist said using any kind of paper mask would have the same effect as holding up chicken wire to keep out dust. And that guy said that in 1930-something when they first started, right, like you said. So from the very beginning when they said, well, take one of those masks and put it on, it's like, what the? And whether or not any and all of this stuff is not an indication, like we all believe, that this was control. This was somebody else. This, that, and the other thing. But here's my point. That's not liberals. That's not conservatives. That's the people at the top that see all of us as pawns. I would take COVID as the biggest example of what we need to do to come together and figure out a way to do something new and fight the real fight instead of where should I pee?
Wow, can't argue that. Can you, Seth?
On that note, I'm voting for Trump.
All right.
I mean, I've enjoyed the conversation, but I mean, you know, I agree with a lot of what you say, Mike.
If nothing else, look what we've accomplished tonight. We've just had really interesting, rewarding conversations that maybe somebody at home is Googling the Cato Institute or talking about the immigration statistics or taking a look at how much money in taxes illegals contribute, because they're a third of every worker in this country.
I talked to somebody from the Cato Institute the other day, and they talked about how horrible Biden's tax plan is, and it's going to fucking rape the shit out of us. And so I'm not sure that you want to talk all about the Cato Institute.
Well, the Cato Institute also said, though, because this is what they're pushing, if they would be allowed after X amount of years to become citizens and pay their full share of taxes into the system, it'd raise another $1.7 billion, which would go a long way over 4 years to get rid of the deficit and all kinds of other stuff. Everybody needs a bigger and more equitable share of the pie, because there's plenty of money there.
Look, can't I just get you guys to start yelling at each other, for God's sakes? I've been waiting an hour for that.
All right, real quick, though. Do you know Lou Santini? Mike? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good comic. I'll be on a show with him the 29th.
Tell him I said hi. He worked at MMS.
I will do that.
The tail end when I started there.
I spent a lot of time down at Crackpots. He and I are both down there quite a bit.
He's a good dude from what I know.
He is a good dude. He's got a show called Comics Against Humanity, and I'm going to be on his panel the 29th.
Let me just explain to you something, Mike. You know, and I know you're not going to admit it, but the election was stolen from Donald Trump. The guy that we have in office now is a buffoon, mashed potatoes, being controlled probably by Obama or somebody like that. His vice president called him a racist because he is a racist, horrible pig. And yet you sit there and we'll talk shit about Trump all fucking day long and not realize the fact that the guy running this country right now is not just a buffoon, but a traitor to this country and a criminal. And I don't understand why you won't just admit that and realize that, yes, Trump may stick his fingers in some woman and want to grab her by the pussy, but that's much better than what this guy is doing to destroy the America that we love.
Okay. I didn't interrupt you. Donald Trump in the 80s was a Democrat and told Howard Stern two things. The American economy under Republicans sucked, and he'd never be a Republican unless he wanted to run for president. And then he'd run as a Republican because Republicans are so fucking dumb. Go research Howard Stern. The second thing he told Howard Stern is one of the things he laments the most in life is that he can't have a relationship the way he'd like to have a relationship with his daughter. Donald Trump has been in with the Russian mafia since Atlantic City went belly up and Russia paid all its bills. Donald Trump knows that the election wasn't stolen, and here's the proof. He started saying, I'm going to win this election unless they steal it from me in April of 2020.
And that's exactly what they did, Mike. You know that they used COVID and early voting. You know that they used the mail-in ballots.
I didn't interrupt you.
Two cases of shit.
I didn't interrupt you. I'm making two
rounds ballot voting places and counting places overnight so they can get fucking the rigged election. You know this.
Okay. Once again, don't interrupt me. Here we go.
It's my show, Mike.
April.
What are you doing?
I don't want to hear that garbage.
Come on.
It's not garbage. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. All those months as president of the United States, he knew the election was going to be stolen, and he didn't do a damn thing about it. It wasn't stolen. Number two, every single ballot that everybody says was a phony ballot had election results for every other race in the country.
Why did nobody, they close the count?
Nobody has. I'm not done. Every single person. Nobody.
Why did they close them overnight, Mike? Why was Trump ahead in Michigan and in Pennsylvania, and they shut the fucking places down overnight, and then all of a sudden, magically, they open back up in the morning, and Trump is losing?
That's not true.
That's absolutely true.
It didn't happen.
Look it up.
I have worked elections for 9 years. You cannot get up and pee without somebody, the opposing party, going with you. The biggest lie, and this is what pisses me the most about it, has nothing to do with Trump or Biden. Every election in this country, millions of Americans go volunteer at the polls to make sure that we vote the right way. That stuff didn't happen because there isn't a single poll worker anywhere in this country that said, wait a minute, we were told to leave the room while they were counting. Wait a minute. This isn't Chicago. This isn't the 60s. What happened in the last election is this. And this is what's been missing for the last 4 years. There haven't been 40, 50, 60 tweets a day that were full of lies. 7 million more people than voted for Trump were sick of all the lies. We're sick of all the bullshit. It's
what lies, Mike? What lies? The economy was great
no,
until
I'll give you the everything. The left everything that comes out of his mouth
what was lies.
Two things.
See, this is bullshit. This is what I hate, Mike. Well, what lies? Get, tell me the lies because you have no proof.
Well, let him tell you. Let him tell you.
Fuck that, Chris.
Here's
no.
One.
I
give me one, Seth.
I listen to this president we have now lie on a constant basis. He all got right. up there on Thursday night last week. And divided this country completely in half.
No, he didn't. You just pissed off the people that were already pissed at him. You want the first line? Here's the line. That was the largest crowd ever to attend an inauguration.
Did you see the crowd that Biden had the other day? Four Stop. People sitting
You asked for one line. I gave you one.
Yeah, this is the way I'm gonna
and that was his first day in office.
He's a loser and a bunch of
Why
mush.
Don't we just shine a light or inject bleach? That'll cure COVID. That was another lie.
This is why you didn't understand that, because you're not as funny as you think you are. God knows he was actually making
a
joke.
That's not nice.
And maybe that was something you should, maybe that should be your first joke on the fucking stage and people would actually laugh. I don't know. He makes a joke, you think it's fucking serious. Because he was really serious about injecting bleach.
He was really serious about that being the largest crowd to ever attend an inauguration.
Injected bleach into their arms. I mean, why do you say stuff like that? You're the
comedian. Why does he? I'm not the one that said that shit. Immigrants aren't poisoning the blood of America. This everybody that's not a Native American is
immigrant. Family, if they're poisoning this America, the girl who had her skull crushed by some fuck who didn't deserve to be in this country, Mike.
Well, how many people got their skulls fucked by people that were born in this country and deserve to be here, Seth?
Well, our president should have reached
how
out
how many schools get shot up by people that deserve to be here?
Immigrant. You know, if we could prevent more by stopping them from coming over the border, then I would rather that.
Percentage-wise, they're not a contributor to the crime rate.
Percentage-wise, we all know that there's more legal people here than illegal, Mike.
Okay. What's that have to do with crime statistics?
Percentage-wise, has nothing to do with anything. The guy apologized for calling him an illegal immigrant when he is. And
okay.
didn't take to the, go to the family and say, I'm sorry for what happened to your child.
But
I'm
this...
sorry she had her skull crushed by somebody that I let into this country. Right? He let him in.
And? Ever...
He let him in here.
He didn't.
He absolutely did. He invited these people over.
He
absolutely did. He's
God.
Trying to create a voting block for the liberals and the left. That's all he's doing. They're fucking crossing the river, Mike, wearing Biden-Harris t-shirts. That's what he is doing.
Oh,
and
my God.
You can talk all the globalist nonsense you want to talk. I kind of agree with you. But when it comes down to it, the left is wrong on these things. He let them in. They are killing people. They are. There are terrorists that are coming across the border. There's ISIS coming across the border. There are Chinese nationals, military-aged men that are coming across this border. Venezuelans. They are not here for all the right reasons like you think they are, Mike. And somebody needs to put a stop to it. And if it's Trump, God bless him.
It won't
I don't
be.
Think anybody over mashed potato brains.
It won't be.
To do the job that needs to be done.
It's the only way he can get elected is to create a phony issue.
There's no phony issue, Mike. There's 10 million people that have crossed the border since Biden has been in office after he did what he did when he came in. That's fact. You're talking about a president who cares so much about people. You want to talk about politics? You have a president now in Biden that didn't go to East Palestine to take care of the families and people over there after that train derailment. He waited over a year to go there. I went there. You know that. Me and my family went there to see if we could help.
President so did
Trump
I.
Went there to see if they could help.
I went on tour to raise money for
idiot,
them.
Joe Biden, because he knew that's a Trump base and he didn't want to go. That's
okay.
the only reason why he did it. He All is right. the epitome of the left, Mike.
Okay. So that, if you have a laundry list of all the things that are wrong with Trump and all the things that are wrong with Biden, you're going to tell me that Trump emerges as some kind of winner?
A winner in this fight? I would take him over anybody else.
Okay.
I absolutely would. But anyways, I have Tony Massaggio waiting in the wings, dude. I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate being here.
And honestly, I agree with a lot of what you said. So
I do too, but fair is fair. It's my turn.
All right, Mike, see ya.
He even fucked up his hang up. He tried to hang up on me. Now he's got his camera backwards and everything else. That's the problem with the left, man. They can't even hang up the phone right.
I just had to check out and just laugh. I love that.
We have to play Tony's commercial.
Yeah, I'll do it. Tony. I'll do it. All right, hang tight, folks. We'll be back with Tony in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Assured Window Cleaning specializes in window cleaning, chandelier cleaning, blind cleaning, gutter cleaning, and post-construction cleaning. In business since 1947, Assured Window Cleaning has proudly been serving its customers in Cleveland for 75 years. As a family-owned and operated business, Assured Window Cleaning has built their reputation on trust and delivering the best results possible. When you need window cleaning services for your home or business, contact Assured Window Cleaning. We're one of the top window cleaning companies in all of Cleveland for both residential and commercial. Visit our website today at www.assuredwindowcleaning.com or call us at 440-989-0122 for a quote. And remember, everybody knows Tony. Contact Assured Window Cleaning today.
Here at Wayback, located in Broadview Heights. They also have a location in Wadsworth and right down the street in Macedonia on 82. Guys, look at this menu. This is the Cheesy Bacon Ranch Cheesesteak. Shaved steak topped with melty cheese sauce, two pieces of bacon and ranch. Oh, Seth, if you could only have that sandwich. And you also, while you're here, you got to try their French fries. You got to try their burgers. They are all made from scratch. And while you're at Wayback, you have to try their homemade milkshakes, which is made with real ice cream. They had made me a caramel marshmallow milkshake. This is the best in your meal right here is the Wayback. Guys, let's come into the kitchen. The fries are all hand cut. Burgers are fresh, hot dogs, chicken, everything comes right out of the refrigerator. There is no freezers in this place. So everything is cooked by order. And you can, of course, get everything on it from toppings to cheese to tomato, different cheeses, sauces. They also have the gluten-free option where you can get it wrapped in a piece of lettuce. So again, it's for everybody here. And if you don't like chicken, if you don't like meat, they have other vegetarian options also. But while you're at Wayback, again, you've got to try the milkshake. Tony Masascio for the Seth Williams Show. Guys, I will talk to you soon. Everybody knows Tony, and everybody loves Tony.
And right back here at the Seth Williams Show with Chris Aiken.
You need one of those milkshakes to calm you down, pal.
I do. I feel bad that it ended that way.
I just jumped out and was like, oh, this here it comes. Time to jump out for a minute.
I feel bad.
Nah, it was good. It was good.
I'm like rehiring minus points. Now, just so you know.
Fine. Okay with me.
You have to unresign.
I'm out. See ya.
you are officially unresigned.
I felt like about 45 minutes in, I thought I was replaced, and then the last 15 minutes, I realized I wasn't.
You can never be replaced.
You know who else cannot be replaced?
Tony Masascio.
That's right.
I love that introduction. Thank you guys very much. It was definitely a heated little argument politically. I was ready to hang up on both of you. Wow, how crazy. Welcome to America, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, boy. We're in trouble no matter what side you're on. Right, left, middle. You know what? Just steal cash. Did the government hear that? Did they hear that? They may have heard that. Sorry.
Like, well, Tony, like, where are you today?
So actually, I am at Teschner's Tavern, which is in Richfield. We talked about this place before, but obviously, you just did a commercial on Wayback Burger, which is in Broadview Heights on Route 82. Seth, I know you love this place.
I do.
They have the best American burgers. It is an American restaurant chain. They have 170 restaurants throughout Northeastern Ohio, and everything is made from scratch. There's not a freezer in the place. There's not a microwave in the place. It's all hand-dipped ice cream milkshakes. They have fries, which are cut fries, and the burgers are made to order. And you saw the menu. That picture of the menu is absolutely wonderful.
Let me ask you this about Wayback, Tony, real quick. Because I literally had them last night, but I ordered late, and I did it through DoorDash, which kind of ruins it, I think.
Yeah, but you can't order DoorDash. They probably took a bite from it.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that bad. I had this one-legged guy come limping up to bring it to me. It wasn't good.
That's funny. But no, go ahead. Ask your question.
Well, what I was wanted to ask is I was tempted but did not get the shake yesterday just because it was like $10 on DoorDash, you know, and I was like, it's far enough away to where it'll probably be melty and almost milk. So I didn't get it. But tell me about the shake, because I'm a big shake guy.
Yes, it is. Actually, it's high grade. So they buy the best ice cream. They buy the best strawberries. I had a caramel marshmallow, and you can make any kind of concoction of milkshake. And what you just asked is when you buy one there, just put it in the freezer. Just pop it in the freezer for another 20, 25 minutes if it's already melted, and it is one of the best shakes you'll ever have. And it's, again, everything is made. It's all real fruit. They use some Monin syrups on some of the shakes that they do make, but most of it is like a real fruit base. And the ice cream is the top-notch ice cream. So it's not a cheap, you know, ice milk, which is the best part about it.
Right on. So Tony, tell us about the place that you're at today.
So actually, I am at Teschner's Tavern. They are located on Broadview Road in Richfield. And as you can see, I got a burger in front of me, which is, I got to tell you, I've had burgers like all week. I guess never enough for a burger, right? I love my burgers. I also have some of their homemade coleslaw. Let me talk about Wayback though real quick, and that's what I love about this place. With every one of their stores, they have a free milkshake day, which is in the summer. We'll find out what date it is. And they also give back, and maybe in the broadcasting industry, as long as I have, and Steph, you'll love this too, is they do a big business. They do a big giveaway or give back to the Boys and Girls Club, which is really cool. So a lot of their proceeds go into charities, which a lot of restaurants, they say they do, but they don't.
Right.
So that's one thing about a great chain that they are, which is nice. So again, they have fresh burgers, they have fresh chicken, fries, they have vegan, they also have gluten-free. They're located in Broadview Heights. They have a location in Macedonia, and they also have a location in Wadsworth. And again, let me talk about both places here. Teschner's, and I know, Seth, you're right down the street from here.
Yes.
They have a prime rib. It is to die for. So their Friday and Saturday night, they're known for their steaks and their prime rib. You've got to stop in there. This was an old house at one time. They took it over probably about 20 years ago. It's family owned. The two kids are bartenders and cooks. The mom oversees everything here. They're open at 3:00 in the afternoon, and this parking lot is already packed.
Wow.
They're from Tuesday to Friday. They rent the place out on Sundays for events. So you can rent this out for a nice Browns game, which is really cool. And it's, you know, that's what I love talking about, you know, all these different restaurants that we feature every Wednesday evening.
Tony, now, how do you not look like me?
Yeah. How come I don't look like you?
Yes.
It's so funny. I was just telling my friend Monica, because I swim, I do yoga, and I walk. And this morning, I golfed early this morning.
Okay.
So it was a beautiful day, and I golfed, and my friends take a cart, but I hit the ball, and I walked to my ball.
So, okay. Yeah. But, you know, I even lost a few pounds, actually. I got a little belly, but I lost my ass. I don't know how the hell that happened. I got to find out. I got to ask the doctor about that one. Can you lose an ass? People are buying asses. I lost an ass.
Let me tell you this about Teschers, though, Chris.
Okay.
The bad thing about Teschers is that depending on the day, you can't get in.
Yeah.
I went up there with my wife and just wanted to get food to go, and they were so busy that I couldn't get in. That's how good
the food is. So that's the best part about me having my sticker on the windows of these places.
Yeah.
I just call and say, Tony's coming in. And I walk in and they say, Tony, I love Tony. And they got a little table for me. So when you're ready to sit here, I'll sit down with you guys. Is that fair? I'll get you a seat and table too.
That's great, Tony. But I'm going to tell you this: sometimes they just think you throw those stickers out the fucking window and they land on something. And you say that you've been there. Okay. I went to a gas station not that long ago, and I was like, I saw your sticker on the window.
So I put the sticker everywhere. I may have frequented that gas station. That's where the sticker got there. I put the sticker everywhere. I like branded myself with that sticker.
I saw your sticker, and then I said to the guy at one of the gas stations, he said, oh, you know, Tony? And I was hoping to get like a discount on gas or like a pop for me or something like that. He goes, no. I said, well, you have a sticker on your window.
Oh, that's funny. I love it. So, hey, I know you guys are doing a remote the 19th of this March, and I'll make sure that inspirational. Actually, make sure we get you some candies there. Be inspired. We'll make sure we get some stuff there. So next week, actually, I am going to be at a charity golf outing. Hopefully, they have internet there. I am going to be broadcasting live from Grantwood.
Okay.
And guess what? We'll find. I'll make sure that we find some internet. We'll find
all right.
Find it, figure it out. So, hey guys, let me leave you with this. I just saw this on Channel 5, and it was a news story, so it has to be true. That they are experimenting with Viagra to help Alzheimer's disease. Now let me tell you something. This is a whole new thing or a whole new meaning. It's getting a lot harder to remember. Guys, I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, Tony. Where can people hear you?
You can hear me every Saturday morning at Flashpoint 1490 WERE between 10 o'clock and 11. And this week I'm going to actually be searching for a corned beef sandwich downtown. The next day is St. Patrick's Day, so I won't be there on Sunday, but I'll be there on Saturday looking for a corned beef sandwich and green beer, but I'm not drinking the green beer. Sorry.
Right on.
Guys, have a great evening. Tony Massasha for the Seth Williams Show. I will talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks again, guys.
Bye. All right, Tony. See ya. There goes Tony.
I love it, but like I thought we would do videos, so that way we...
Well, whatever. That wasn't too bad.
No, it was fine.
That was okay. Well, this has been a spirited hour and a half. Holy cow.
Yes. I enjoyed it.
Went very fast.
Yeah, I enjoyed having Mike on. Chisanka, thank you for coming on.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole talk, even the yelling at the end, especially the yelling at the end.
Look, I tried to maintain the best that I could throughout the entire interview, and I think that for the most part I did all right.
It was fine.
But there are just certain things that when it comes to him and I, we don't mix. And that only is Donald Trump.
I think it was pretty clear. I don't know. Maybe people didn't get that, but I think most people understood that you guys have some issues that you don't see eye to eye on.
But the problem is that, you know, I'm not like a always Trumper, like only Trump or else kind of guy, dude.
You're a mostly Trumper.
Well, I mean, it depends on who. I mean, of course, I'm going to vote for Trump over this guy, over Biden, of course. But if Trump wasn't the nominee, if Vivek was the nominee, I absolutely would have voted for him. And I would have been just as passionate about voting for Vivek as I would have been Trump.
Yeah. I think the difference, I honestly don't think is, I know Trump is an issue between you two guys.
Of course.
But I think the bigger issue between you guys is Mike is hopes and dreams guy and you're hard reality guy. And that's never going to work. It's the whole reason the country itself is torn in half. Because hopes and dreams, you know, there's like, think about how many people can actually say their dreams came true. About one in a million, right?
Right.
One in a million say their dreams came true. Where hard work and just busting your ass, a lot more reality can come out of that. And I think that's where you two have a problem, is that the two of you have a different mindset on what it's going to take. But whatever, it was good spirited talk. I love that.
I know we're wrapping up, but the thing is that, and the thing that's always bothered me, is that Mike does have this idea of, you know, it's bigger than the two parties. And he's probably right. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a globalist, you know, regime that is controlling probably everything that's going on. And then, you know, it's the big banks and it's the whatever. It's all the stuff that he talks about. But I'm a here and now kind of person. And mm-hmm. what's going on here and now needs to be solved. Because, like he even said, how difficult is it? What, you're going to start? Not even a third party. You're going to start a whole new political system.
Fourth party.
A whole new America.
We're That's right.
We're going to rip the Constitution up. We're going to start a whole new one and take down the globalist regime that is taking over the world.
Well, you can't, because the first thing you got to have is money to finance that regime. And who's going to finance that? The guys with the money. And who are they? The globalist regime.
As much as I think some of his ideas are correct, I don't think they're realistic to solve. And nor do I think that, and I respected and I liked when he said, it's me and you that got to solve the problem or start the ball right. rolling. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, but whatever. It was a good spirited debate today. I enjoyed that fully.
Me too. And I appreciate everything that happened today. It was a fun show. So thanks.
Was a lot of fun.
And God willing, I guess we'll talk to you on Monday. Don't know what's going on. We got to make either announcements about stuff or not when it comes to next week. So.
I want to wait till the last second before we make that announcement. But I will say that if people want to go to that show, I still say that they go. I will put it this way. It ain't the bands that are giving us any grief.
Yeah. So
we'll leave it at that. It is not the bands that are giving us grief, which you know what? Fuck it. We're talking about it now. Might as well talk about it. Bottom line is, we have not been able to secure the fucking venue.
Right.
For the
Bands have all been cool and said they want us there on Tuesday night. And stuff
yeah. Like. The bands have been great, but the venue has not gotten back to almost a dozen pieces of communication.
Right. So, yeah.
And we can't just show up and hope they let us set up.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not either. So, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Last minute, whatever. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have more info probably on. We'll definitely have more info on Monday and let you know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than that, hopefully we'll have something else. We'll see what happens over the next few days.
All right.
Everybody have a great rest of the week and a great weekend. And we will talk to you again on Monday.
See you, folks.
See ya.